The following is an unrehearsed interview with United States Senator Chuck Grassley speaking to you from Washington, D.C. Participating in today's public affairs program are Dennis Morris of KLEM Radio in Lamars and Wayne Dominowski of the Sergeant Bluff Advocate. The first question will come from KLEM's Dennis.
Hi, good afternoon, Senator. I guess I was want to start off with, if I can, asking you to, if you want to clarify your reasons. I know that President Barack Obama has submitted some nominations for positions in the State Department, and you've have wanted to hold on to those for a while. Can you better explain that, your position on that?
Yeah, I've been investigating things within the State Department going way back a long time before Mrs. Clinton was ever a candidate for president. Some of it goes back to when she was Secretary of State. And quite frankly, we're having a hard time to getting answers to our letters and the documents that we requested. Now, I don't want to say we haven't had any cooperation, but on some of the key things, we aren't getting the documents we ought to have. And so what a hold is, there's nominees sent up here by the White House. They go through the committee process, then they go to the calendar. And one way to get the attention of the State Department or any other bureaucracy is to just put a hold on their nominees and not release it until you get what you want. And that's what we're doing and why we're doing it. Wayne?
Okay. Thank you, Senator. I've been keeping up with what you've done, and congratulations on your conservative award that you received recently.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Just one thing. I don't know. The Iranian treaty. The only thing I'd like to ask is, do the senators that vote for such a thing, despite what the American public is saying, are they voting based on their constituency wanting them to vote that way, or is this following a party line?
I think it's pressure from the White House and from Senator Reid to help a president. And I believe that. And you can, let me tell you why you can kind of conclude that. Is just as soon as Senator Schumer, who is the next, going to be the next leader after Reid of the Democratic caucus, just as soon as he announced his opposition to the Iranian thing, you'd be surprised of the number of people in the White House and outside advocacy groups for liberal causes jumped on him and said he should be denied being leader of the Democrats.
Yeah.
And so that's the basis for my saying it's more political than anything else. Now, I think I got to be fair when there's, 42 of them, I think, that voted that way. There's a lot of them are naive enough to feel that you can deal with the Iranians. Mm-hmm. And so they voted for it in good faith and not because of political pressure. But enough votes were rounded up so we couldn't have 2/3 vote to override the president's veto based upon pressure from the White House and colleagues. Back to Dennis.
All right, Senator, thank you. As you know, today starts the new fiscal year. And I guess I was wondering, you know, obviously that there was a last-minute compromise that was reached to be able to prolong the government so the government doesn't shut down. But that's just kind of a temporary bandage on a large hemorrhage. But so I was just kind of wondering if you could kind of give your assessment as to will we have a financial package suitable, you know, I mean, will we be able to continue business without shutting down the government, actually?
I believe so. And the only thing that I would say, you use the word big compromise. This is a little compromise to extend funding at the present level so we don't shut down the government until December the 11th. The big compromise is going to have to come during November and December, before November the 11th. And I could not predict to you in any way, and I'll bet even the people negotiating can't predict where that might come out. finding common ground like that. But it'll be found, I believe, because with the fiscal situation the way it is, deficits and national debt and shutting down the government costs money, opening up the government costs money, and you don't save money. Why should you be doing silly things that costs the taxpayers more money or more debt? Wayne?
Okay, this is on ethanol. It's a major market for Iowa corn, and this is a statement I pulled up. 40% of Iowa corn goes into ethanol production. Today, over 95% of all fuel sold in the U.S. is blended with 10% ethanol. I guess my confusion is President Obama is big on the environment, yet seems to be cool to ethanol. I don't know if he supports ethanol or if he doesn't care about it. Where do we stand on this product?
Well, we're fighting with EPA that's trying to cut down on the amount of ethanol use. And in regard to that, we about 15 or 20 senators were in Senator Klobuchar's office from 12 to 1 Eastern time today talking to the chief of staff of the White House on this very, very subject. And I had a chance to be there and voice my opinion, and you know what my opinion would have been. The other thing is, and everything you said about ethanol, I don't disagree. I agree with what you said. It's very, very important. The only thing I would correct, and I'm not correcting you, but I'm correcting what was read, that is that 40% of the corn in Iowa or in the United States goes into an ethanol plant. But don't forget, about 18 pounds out of a bushel, or about a third of a bushel, comes back as animal feed in a different form. It's left over. And so that makes it only about 25 to 28% of the corn crop is actually used for ethanol.
I did have one other question, if we can, and that is I just kind of want to go back to last week with the Pope Francis visit to the United States, and more specifically his address to the joint members of Congress. Your thoughts on it, and will the Pope's message have long-lasting effects? I mean, will Congress adhere to for several weeks or months from that, yeah, since that address?
I think the Pope's presence in the United States is going to have a long-lasting effect on all religions, probably more on the Catholic, as you would expect. I don't think it's going to have much of an impact on public policy or politics within the United States.
And your thoughts about his message?
I liked it. I didn't agree with all of it, but then you get to common sense that a religious leader is going to have more credibility speaking on spiritual matters than on political matters. And, of course, I didn't disagree with him on spiritual matters. I didn't disagree with everything that he said on political things, but they just tend to have less credibility on political things.
All right. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Dennis and Wayne, for participating in today's public affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.